All right. Good evening, folks. Sorry for the technical problems here. This is Kent Hovind and Jonathan Sampson talking to you live this June the 10th, 2004. If you want to call in and be on the program, this is the Creation Science Hour. And we're the folks who believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of humanity. Didn't happen. You didn't evolve. You were created by God for a very specific reason. He loves you, but he hates your sin, and you're going to hell if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, plain and simple. And he's willing to save you and forgive you. He sure did for me 35 years ago. All right, a little background. I taught high school science 15 years, and now for, I guess, almost 16 years, I've been an evangelist doing seminars on creation, evolution, and dinosaurs. And we have right here in Pensacola, Dinosaur Adventure Land, the most amazing place on planet Earth. It's a science center, a theme park, and a museum, all dedicated to the glory of God, and all based on the idea that the Bible is true. The world was created in 6 days, about 6,000 years ago. There was a big flood about 4,400 years ago that totally rearranged the world and dropped everybody's property value to zero for just a short time there. Noah got off the ark, had the whole earth to himself and his family, and everybody spread out from there, just exactly as the Bible teaches. So that's what our park is dedicated to, teaching that concept, and we have had thousands of visitors come through, and we teach them exactly that. So if you want to call in and be on the program, you can call 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, and then go to extension 136. And if Jonathan gets done playing with all the wires over there, he'll be able to take your phone call. And let's see. No, don't save changes to that. Okay. Clear my desktop so I can get some work done. I've been out running around like a head with my chicken cut off all day. It has been a zoo here. There. Okay. AOL instant message. Click on the little buddy guy there. Got it. If you want to call in, we'd love to have you, or you can AOL instant message us now. That mine's open at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive, and we'll be glad to take your calls. Here's a couple testimonies been sent to us. And, oh, it's the announcements first. We have Southeast Creation Conference coming in just 3 months. If you want to get involved in that, you can still sign up. We have Dr. Carl Baugh coming to speak, Dr. Jack Kuwazo, who wrote the book Buried Alive, expert on the so-called Neanderthals. Really going to be great with him here. And then Dr. Dennis Swift will be here, who is probably the world's expert on the Ica stones from Peru, showing evidence of men and dinosaurs living together. And we had now, we got our other two in today, Jonathan. Did you see them? We have six of the Ica stones and some fabric from 2,000 years ago from the Ica civilization.
We've also got replicas that they can purchase.
They can, just one of them. Because when you make a casting of the original, it pulls off the desert patina, and it doesn't destroy it, but it
takes a long time to make it, though. It
takes 2,000 years to put it back. Yeah,
yeah,
it's going to be a long time
to
get it back on there. So, anyway, you can get a replica online. Go to drdino.com and look at our fossil replicas, and one of them there is one of the Ica stones. That'll be a great witnessing tool you could have. Okay, here's Southeast Creation Conference is this September, 17, 18, 19. And also, let's see, Dennis Swift, Jack Kuwazo, and Carl Baugh will be speaking. Plus, you get a free lunch and tour of Dinosaur Adventure Land, the most fun place on planet Earth. We had a kid today, 11-year-old kid. He's on the swings. I was out there, you know, spinning him around, trying to make him puke. And he said, "This is the greatest day of my life." I said, "How old are you?" He said, 11. I said, "Oh, man, that's awesome. Greatest day of his life." Here we go. Here's one from Brenda who writes in. "Hello, I just got turned on to your videos. Oh, what an answer to prayer. My family and I were just having a discussion the night before a friend mentioned your tapes to us, and they had them in our hands the next day. Our Heavenly Father knew they needed to be unbrainwashed. Unbrainwashed, a new word. I can't stop my son from listening to the tapes. He keeps going ahead of me, so I have to catch up very late at night. It's worth it. I thank our Heavenly Father that you're obedient to the call. May he bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you so much." From Lena. Lena. Ole and Lena. Yeah, sure. You betcha, for you Minnesotans up there. Here we go. Next one from David Mann, who writes in, "Dr. Hovind, I wanted to thank you and your staff for the work you are doing and the way you have strengthened my faith. I am praying for you all and seeking God's guidance on how to help your ministry. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly both now and in the world to come. David from Valdosta, Georgia." Well, David, I have preached, I think, three times in Valdosta, Georgia. Beautiful city. Okay, here's one from Linda who writes in. This is Linda from Japan, Sasebo, Japan. Again, she's written before. I just want to update you on the happenings here at the Naval Base with the youth. Because of showing your DVDs during Sunday school hour during the last school year, 14 so are going to attend a Christian college this fall. 14 so are going to get the emphasis on the wrong syllable there. They showed the video for teens who are going to attend Christian college. Many are sharing our copies with friends and parents. Two have given testimony in their science class and asked for equal time. Three parents have rededicated their lives. Three teens have brought copies to the Boys and Girls Club to share as an alternative to other movies and gotten awesome responses. And we've been able to hold an evening chapel session to show them to interested adults. Several teens have become more interested in Christian films instead of going to the theater. The youth have started meeting on their own on Saturdays for Bible study and watching your debates. Their boldness for witnessing, starting with sharing a DVD and then moving on from there, has really taken off. Even adults are excited about their faith again. All I can say is praise God, praise God, praise God, and thank you for being a willing instrument to be used of Him. Not all the kids are comfortable firing the gun, but they are carrying the bullets. To God be the glory. Well, thank you so much. From Japan, konnichiwa, sayonara, and all that stuff. Honda, Toyota, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. It's all the Japanese I know about. I was over there for, 5 days, I guess, in Tokyo. What a crowded, crowded city. Man. Jonathan, they have buttons on the dash of their car. I kid you not. When you're in really crowded traffic, they got small cars anyway, the button pulls the rearview mirrors in so that you don't clip rearview mirrors as you drive down the street. It's unbelievably crowded. I mean, my street out here, Cummings, would be a 4-lane highway, easy. Maybe 5. You just can't believe it.
Now, there was another country that you were just in recently.
Germany.
Germany, where apparently they drive real chaotic over there as well.
Well, their roads are big. I mean, they're like ours, but, boy, they drive fast. The Autobahn, it's cool. I mean, it's fun. We're going 110. That's as fast as the van would go we were in.
It was a van.
A van.
Now, I personally drive a van. I could not. My van goes about 0 to 60 in just under half an hour. So
just under half an hour.
I can imagine the 110.
Well, we were in the slow lane at 110, and they were passing us so fast, I was actually scared. I mean, just when you're going 110 and the trees are whizzing by, zip, zip, and here comes a car. Wow. They say when they have an accident, don't even call the ambulance. Just call a hearse.
Probably nothing to clean up either. Just all poof.
No, not much left. But they're really good drivers. I was impressed. They're basically heathen over there. You know, they don't respect the Lord's authority in their life, but they are good drivers. Very few accidents, and beautiful country. Clean. Then I went to France to their airport. Oh, just a different mentality.
They say they use
perfume because they don't bathe or something. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was just a world of difference. I don't know if the whole country's that way, but the airport sure was. I mean, I'm in a lot of airports. That one's filthy. Okay, here we go. William writes in, Dr. Hovind, I'm trying to get some information about the words of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, and he that does this has eternal life. Can you either give me a good explanation of what this means or point me towards some good resources to learn more? I thank you in the name of Jesus. Bill. Bill, you got me on that one. I have read the passage for, 35 years, and I have to confess I don't know an answer either. However, I suspect J. Vernon McGee has preached on that. He died, but he's preached on everything. I would start with some commentaries, I guess. I've got a bunch here in my library, but I guess I never thought to look up that verse. What did he mean by that? Sorry, Bill. Got any ideas on that, Jonathan?
I don't know. It seems like there's many possibilities. You know, it's obviously a spiritual thing. We're supposed to partake, you know, in his – he gave his life for us, basically. Leviticus says the life of the flesh is in the blood. By his sacrifice, giving up his life, we inherit eternal life. So, obviously, he didn't mean eat my flesh and drink my blood, you know, physically. You know, because you and I can't do that today.
Right.
There's no possible way you know to get to heaven, which would mean no one can be saved today. So I think it's obviously partaking in that sacrifice that he had, you know, for by one sacrifice, this guy perfected forever. I guess it would just have more of a spiritual implications in accepting what he's done for you.
Well, don't know.
It is difficult. So.
The Catholics, of course, they say, well, this grape juice or this wine actually turns into the blood of Christ.
Yeah,
and this wafer becomes the body.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so the priest is carrying Jesus around for a minute. So the God of the universe is controlled by this priest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy that for a second.
That's pushing it.
That's really, yeah. Okay, that's just one of many things I would disagree with the Catholics teach. I could agree on lots of things with them, but mm-hmm. I strongly disagree on a lot of things with them, too. Here we go. John writes in, I know the observable universe is expanding because the stars are moving away from us. Ooh, John, let me stop there and say, I don't know that we know that. I'll say we assume that, and it's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
He says, are there any ideas on a limitation of the size of the universe? Also, do you have any theories on how big the universe was when God created it? We don't know how big it is now. Actually, we don't even know if it has an end. Is it possible that the universe goes forever just to show how big God is? The brain won't absorb that. Mine won't.
Yeah, that's weird. I know there was one a theoretical physicist that said it's possible, and of course he's an evolutionist, and going with the Big Bang Theory, he was saying it's possible that you could go one direction in space and then end up right where you started off.
Well, he's not a good driver.
Yeah, it's just like, hell no. You know, he's saying, of course, on a straight line here.
Okay.
He's saying...
Because I've done that. You know, I've taken off one direction, ended up back where I started. How did I do this?
It's definitely, who knows?
Yeah, okay.
You know, a lot of people, they said the continents, or not the continents, the stars and stuff aren't actually moving away. They're fixed in space, and space itself is expanding, which means that they're not moving, but they're expanding with the space. Just like if a piece of cardboard was on the balloon, and you blew up the balloon. It's not actually moving away from something. It's just expanding with.
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't know.
That's interesting. I mean, it's.
I guess the solid geometry of that would have some. I have some like problems with believing that. I've heard all those theories, and I don't know what's true on that. Doesn't matter. I got enough to do it on here on Earth. Let God take care of the rest of the universe. I got enough to do right here in Pensacola.
Right here, Dinosaur
Adventureland. Right here, Adventureland. We're pretty busy. Here we go. Michelle McPherson says, my question is, are there roaming spirits that have not gone to their destiny? I personally do not believe that there are spirits just roaming around hotels and old nursing homes or old homes haunting them. I do believe there are angels sent by God for special reasons and that there are demons. Now, Michelle, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we know that when a Christian dies, they're instantly in heaven. Where's the verse about the lost? Well, the rich man died and in hell lift up his eyes, being in torments, Luke 16. Does that apply to all of them? I don't know. Yeah, I would agree, Michelle. I don't think there are spirits roaming around, haunted houses and stuff like that, unless they are demonic for whatever reason. Okay, Kathy DeSanto says, would you be so kind as to recommend me to a reading material that would expose the flaws in the so-called theory of evolution? I would appreciate any help. Thank you. Oh, Kathy, go to my website, Dr. Dino. There are so many books on creation. Jonathan, you've been at this reading 50 books a week for a year here. What's the best one you've read?
Well, the best one I've read, Claws, Jaws, and Dinosaurs. No. We actually do, this isn't the best, I've actually not even read this one, but we have a book on the website, Evolution, Fact, Fraud, or Faith.
That's Don Boy. He's a good friend of mine. It's a good book.
Yeah, it's actually on special today, $4 off right on the front page, and they can read a sample of it right online for free.
Yeah. Don Boyes is up near Chattanooga. He's great. He travels and speaks on a variety of topics, including evolution. He's a little hard-hitting, which I like. You know, he just calls them stupid, and, you know, if you believe that, that's you know, you're dumb.
I noticed that, yeah.
He's not real tactful.
I was checking out some of it this morning.
That's what I like about him.
I was like, yeah, he is kind of hard-hitting, isn't he?
That's what we need, you know?
Not too hard.
No, it's a couple steps down from one of our neighbors over here, you know. But
it's enough to open your eyes. You know, it's just like a love tap.
Anyway, the book is great. Evolution, Fact, Faith, or Fraud, Dr. Don Boyes, who is an Indiana representative, House Representatives, what do they call him, representative, or senator, I forget what he was for a while, is in politics, and very knowledgeable man on a variety of subjects, but boy, he hits evolution hard in that book. And what's the special, like $5?
Well, the book itself is about 350 pages. It's regularly $14, but they can get it just for today, $10.
Okay.
It's forwarded by Duane Gish, a legendary creationist over at ICR. Excellent book, I guess, according to you.
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah, that's why I sell it. I wouldn't sell it if I didn't believe it. Okay. Derek Hagen writes in, I have a question on a supposed contradiction in the Bible. I have a person ask me about this, but I'm not sure how to respond. Also, below is an explanation I came up with that is listed on your website, saying it was a bad KJV translation. Oh, Derek, let me say right there, we have 6 pages of supposed contradictions on my website that are answered. I've had 3 or 4 different people contribute to that.
We've got about 7 sections, about 90 pages.
Oh, 90 pages, 7 yeah. sections, okay. Some of the contributors are not, and I don't agree with all their answers. I haven't had time to go through and correct them, okay? Some of them say, well, this is a contradiction because there's a mistranslation in the King James. And I'm sorry, I disagree strongly. I think there are no mistranslations in the King James. I think God preserved his word for us. And I haven't always felt that way. But I have come to that conclusion after intensive study for 30-some years. So I'm sorry that it's on the website. We are slowly working to weed those out. If you want to go through and pick out which particular ones that go through the 90 pages and pick them out, it'd be a good project for somebody at home to do. Send me the list and I'll fix it. No, I don't believe there are contradictions.
There's out of the 90 pages, I believe there's about 5 maybe, where the person who donated their answer said it was a bad translation okay. or a copyist error. So it's not too profound, but there are a couple on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we need to add that to the list. Our to-do list is getting real long. Mine is. Break time. Okay, folks, we'll be back. Derek, hang in there. We'll answer your question in a minute. Check out drdiner.com and listen to the Bible at double speed. Pretty amazing.
All right, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is Jonathan Sampson and Dr. Kent Hovind here in Pensacola, Florida. We were just talking before the break about our website, drdiner.com, which everybody can visit out there, and we strongly recommend it. Today we have a special a book, Evolution, Fact, Fraud, or Faith, by Dr. Don Boyce, apparently a good friend of Dr. Hovind's, and forwarded by Dr. Dwayne Gish. Looks like an excellent book. Also on our website, you guys will notice a couple new features. There's a new article of the day feature where you can actually read a brand new article every day. And today we also have discounted debate audio tapes. They're usually for 23 tapes, it's usually about $69. And today, and actually for the rest of the week, you can probably get all 23 of them for $50. Individually, they used to be $7.95, and now they're only $4.50. So you guys definitely check those out. They're very helpful whenever you're driving in your car and just want to listen to a debate. Good, wholesome entertainment right there. Very educational as well. Also, if you guys have noticed, on the front of our website, we have, like I just said, an article of the day. Today's article is Discover Magazine Juggles with Bad Science. Now, we've talked about this. We've touched on it a couple times in the past. And, here's Dr. Hovind.
Oh, did we just come back on? I missed it there. Get tied up. Too many irons in the fire. Here we go. Derek, sorry about the wait here. If you want to call in, folks, you can be on the program at 850-479-3466. 850-479-3466. We'll be glad to have you on. You could also AOL instant messages at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. And if you go to the phone number, then hit extension 136 and take you straight to Jonathan. Okay, Derek had a question about contradictions, and I'm sorry about those on our website that say there are errors in the King James. I do not agree with that. That is, articles are contributed by other people who said that. And we will weed them out as time permits. He says, in 2 Samuel, David took with him 1,000 chariots and 700 horsemen and 20,000 footmen. In 1 Chronicles, David took for him 1,000 chariots, 7,000 horsemen, and 20,000 footmen. The first one says 700 horsemen, but the second one says 7,000 horsemen. I'm not sure why they're different, but I was thinking it has to do with the 10 horsemen per chariot. Please help me get this figured out. Okay, yes, Derek, there are several references in Scripture to the teaching us, I guess, that there had 10 horses and 10 men per chariot. If you go to my seminar part 7, you can watch it right online, or you can listen online, I guess. Some of the video is not online. Video for 1 and 2 is, but the audio for all of them is right online. And if you go to the supposed contradictions in the Bible, I cover this on video 7. Let's see, I'm there right now on my PowerPoint presentation. Let's see, Solomon had 7,000. Here it is. In 1 Kings, it says he had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen, 1 Kings 4:26. 2 Chronicles 9:25 says Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen. This is teaching us they had 10 horses per chariot. If he had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots, and he had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots, it makes perfect sense. 10 horses per chariot. And many other versions of the Bible just really mess it up. They think there's a contradiction, and they're trying to help God out, and they just mess it up by trying to help. They should have left it alone. In 2 Samuel 10, now the verse you gave me, Derek, said 2 Samuel 8:4, which is correct. Another one deals with this. But in 2 Samuel 10:18, it says, the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians. 1 Chronicles 19:18 says, David slew of the Syrians 7,000 men which fought in chariots. So it's not a contradiction. There were 10 men per chariot, and apparently one man in charge of the chariot. So I believe the 2 Samuel 8 is when he slew 700 horsemen, that would be the guy in charge of the chariot. In the next passage in Chronicles, it says he killed 7,000 horsemen. Well, he killed everybody. One person is recording apparently just the killing of the captains. Just like one time it says they slew five kings in a battle. Well, yeah, they also slew all the people that worked with them. So it's not a problem at all. It's like when they say, you know, 40 states voted for somebody. Yeah, but also a lot of the people in those states voted for that same person. So I don't see a contradiction at all. I see giving two sides of the same story. Let's see. Okay, then you say there's another contradiction. It says Michael was childless. That's Michael Saul's daughter when she married David. And the second verse says they had five sons of Michael. If you look closely at 2 Samuel 21, it says Michael brought up five sons for Adriel. That's correct. That's not a contradiction at all. Michael apparently did not have any children, but she raised five children of her somebody else, maybe a brother or sister. That was common back in those days, common today. But no, not a problem at all. We will correct those that were contributed someday where it says contradictions based on bad translations, because I don't agree with that at all. There's a book we used to sell. I guess I can still recommend it, but it's a book by Peter Ruckman called The Errors in the King James Bible, and he deals with 500 of these supposed contradictions. It's got a lot of good meat in it, but man, you got so many bones to eat around because he's so rude and crude and crass. But I would still recommend it, I guess, as long as you understand it's a little more than just hard-hitting. It's unnecessarily mean. Okay, here we go. Tim Rustand, A-N-D, writes in, thank you for the work in this area of creation. On one of your tapes, you state that two planets spin in opposite directions. Which planets are they, and where can I document this? Tim, that's on Seminar Part 1. A first hour of that. Most tapes have an hour or 2 hours on them. I believe the documentation is right at the bottom of the screen on that one. I don't have my computer open to that one now, but Venus and Uranus spin backwards, and possibly Pluto. I think any earth science book though would show that. You could look it up in an earth science book, and it'll mention that these. If you look at the planets, it'll tell how fast they're spinning and how much the planets weigh, and it'll say next to Venus and Uranus, it'll say retrograde. Which means, fancy word, they're going backwards. Okay. Then I don't know if they're sure about Pluto yet. If somebody can find out, I'd like to add that to my seminar. Somebody can check, have they yet determined if Pluto spins backwards to the rest? Some of you folks out there listening might want a good research project. I know Pluto is so far away and so tiny, it's not a lot bigger than our moon. There were questions about which way it spins. I don't know that anybody knew for sure. Maybe they do now. And I sure don't think it matters, and I bet it cost NASA millions and millions of dollars to find an answer to that question that nobody was asking. Okay, here we go. Joshua Greenberg writes in, hi, I saw your email in the FAQ of the CSE ministry page. I hope you'll find forgiveness. I hope you will forgive my ignorance about some of these topics, as I'm just getting started in reading the available literature, and my knowledge of the King James Bible is admittedly quite rusty. Frowny face. Anyway, can you give me some more information about the Mark of the Beast and its appearance in modern times? For starters, are there signs that the events of Revelation are coming to pass? Rusty, or Joshua, I'm sorry, let me stop there. Yes, I think we covered this on video 5 and a little bit more on video 7 about the Mark of the Beast. I don't know what it is for sure. I suspect it's probably something like the little microchip that is now available that is already being implanted in people. Did I show you that article, Jonathan, about the microchip? That article, You Are the Card, is the name of it. You saw that, didn't you?
Yeah, you showed me that just a few days ago.
Right. Well, we covered that in class last night, the class I teach at the church. I did all year, but it's over for the summer.
Now, they've actually got microchips as small as a period on a page.
Right.
That they can put in you.
Real tiny.
Which is kind of scary. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. If I'm ever going up to get a blood test done or something, they could, you know, I'm not saying they do this, and so no one label me as a psycho, but they could so easily just throw one of those little things in you if they wanted to.
Correct. Let's see. I've got it right here in front of me. Seminar Part 5. An article. Where did I put that? No, don't tell me.
Now, there's a company going around called VeriSign. No, not VeriSign. VeriChip. Here in southern Florida, just a few years back, a young kid about 15 years old had his entire family chipped. I believe they were the first family in Florida to get chipped.
Here it is. USA Today, May 12th, 2004. Last month, less than a month ago, it said, I tried to, the article, it's in the money section, USA Today, is on their website, and title is Technology by Kevin Manley, it says, get chipped, then charge without plastic, you are the card. Wow, coming soon to a city near you. Anyway, if that helps your question, Joshua, yes, I believe we're very close. Joshua goes on to say, I have been warning some of my friends about using the new EasyPass technology you may have heard of. It tracks cars and automatically deducts money as you pass designated toll booths. Would it be correct to interpret such technology as a sign of the devil or at least bad sportsmanship? I don't know if it's a sign of the devil. I think Satan is going to use this stuff. That doesn't make the stuff bad. I mean, people use ball bats to beat up other people, but ball bats aren't bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not against the technology. I'm against Satan. So, yeah, I mean, I'm using a computer right this minute, so I'm not against computer or technology. It's sad to see that Satan's going to use this. Here's one, Power Potato 1. Now, there's a screen name.
Something unique about that one.
Well, yours was something. Tell me that again.
Ali Abwa Ninuguchi Ali Dala.
There you go. And you just thought that up all by yourself.
It was a... I think
one of those peanut butter and pizza moments.
Yeah, crudely called it. It's a brain fart. That's what they call it.
Okay. If you peanut butter on your pizza, you'll think up those kind of things. Okay, Power Potato 1 writes in Genesis 6. And repented the Lord that he'd made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. In this verse, what does it mean when it says, means God repented? Well, the word repent means to change your mind. God changes his mind on what he's going to do based upon what we do. Like I did with my kids. If I decide I'm going to spank them and then they I see that they have changed their actions or changed their ways, then I will change what I was going to do to them.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on their reaction. So God repents. It just simply means to change based on our response. He's going to do something. He's going to beat the devil out of you, but you repented, so he repented.
Yeah, you know, the Bible says that he goes to and his eyes go to and fro looking, you know, whom he can use or examine the hearts. And it's not because... you know, God doesn't know this stuff. It's because we change.
Right. We have the opportunity to change.
Exactly.
Pharaoh didn't. He never did get the message. Here we go. Ben Ream writes in. Now, Coven, I hope you have time to respond to my question. If not, I understand your busy schedule. Let me first say that I'm a born-again Christian and young earth creationist. I recently purchased debate number 3 entitled Genesis, Fact or Faith with Dr. Terry Pruitt. He stated that the ark was too large to be structurally sound. Could you please refute this claim? It was also stated by the creationist side that the ark was found. I would like more details on this. I've watched John Morris's video on the search for the ark and was under the impression it was still being searched for. Maybe you can help. God bless you, Ben. Okay, Ben, as far as Dr. Pruitt saying the ark is not structurally sound, it's too large, that is simply not correct. There have been many boats built that size. Of course, today they build boats much bigger than that. Noah lived to be 600 when he built the boat. He got instructions straight from God on how to do it. So I don't think there'd be a problem with God's blueprint being structurally unsound. Can you imagine that?
And of course, this goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. Just because you can't imagine something being done, just because it, you were talking earlier with somebody last night. What's it called? Where you automatically reject something.
Cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, he's automatically rejecting this because of what he believes. It doesn't mean it's not true. You know, we have many things today. We have a 20,000-ton rock stones in Peru. 20,000 tons. You know, today I think the biggest cranes on Earth can move 3,000 tons. And, you know, we have no idea how they move these stones. We have really no idea how they built these pyramids.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they weren't done.
I debated Farrell Till, who's the editor of some kind of little skeptic magazine that has 10 people signed up to read it, you know.
Uh-huh.
He's in near Galesburg, Illinois. He teaches English at a junior college. He's a self-professed expert on everything. And it's debate number 7, I think, of my series. He's a former Church of Christ preacher turned atheist. And he said, you can't build a boat that size. He said, I said, well, we don't know how they built the pyramids. He said, oh, you can go to Home Depot right now and get all the stuff you need and build another pyramid.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Whenever the next time someone says, this is actually like an urban legend, from what I understand, people saying, oh, you can't build boats this big. The Chinese tried to do it. And they couldn't do it. Ask them for a source. You know, apparently there is no source. This is just an urban legend, a rumor that got started that you can't build boats this big. We know we can. You know, we know they've done it in history.
Right.
So whoever said you can't do it is completely wrong.
Well, and they assumed that they didn't know anything about iron back then.
Yeah. The Bible speaks specifically about that.
His great-grandson was already doing stuff with iron and brass. So, Ben, not a problem to build an ark that size. Secondly, as far as John Morris saying it has not been found, John Morris is a good friend of mine. I know him personally. He's doing a great job heading up the ministry his dad started, Henry Morris. It's called ICR, Institute for Creation Research. I recommend their stuff highly. I sell their stuff. I've mentioned it numerous times on my program. However, I would have to disagree with John Morris. I don't know where Noah's Ark is. He doesn't either. He's been there many times climbing on the mountain looking for it, and I admire him for that. But every time they come back, it's like, oh, boy, we almost found it. Now, you know, let's go try next year. Okay, it may be there. I don't know, and he doesn't know either. There are many, many reports and legends of it being on the ark. There are also reports of it on the mountain. There are many reports of it being in the valley 17 miles away. And there's a lot of research done by Ron Wyatt. And there's a book I can hold in my hand in about 4 seconds here called The Exodus Case, which we just got to look at. I don't know if we're going to be able to sell it or not. It is a gorgeous book. Hardback, all color throughout the book, all color pictures, excellent. I don't know what it's going to have to sell for a fortune. Printed in Sweden, but it's all documentation of Ron Wyatt's discoveries. Now, I take a lot of flack for even mentioning Ron Wyatt, but he was also a good friend of mine, and he and John Morris would strongly disagree about Noah's Ark. But I think I've studied it as carefully as I know how, and I think I'm going to have to say I believe Ron was right and John is wrong on this one. Now, he's right on lots of other things, and I love John Morrison. Break time. Okay. We'll be back, folks. Hang in there. Come on, stay with us. All right, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. Hope you can hear it okay out there. We're having a little trouble hearing Truth Radio at our end. They can hear you fine. Okay, good. They can hear us fine. If you want to call in and be on the program, we'd be glad to have you. 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466, or Dr. Dino Live, you can AOL instant messages. If you call, be sure to hit 136 extension to go straight to Jonathan. Jonathan Sampson at our desk here and been a great help to our ministry for over a year. We just got to find him a wife now. What's the problem, Jonathan? Are you just too afraid to ask him out? Is that?
We work too much around here.
What time did you quit last night?
Last night?
2:30.
2:30. No, I didn't quit last night. I quit this morning.
Quit this morning. See, if you work from 8 in the morning till 2:30 at night, and you do that every day, you're not going to have much of a dating life, no?
Yeah.
Okay. But you get a lot done.
Yeah, you do get a lot done. Not as much as you could if you worked till 5 in the morning.
That's true. Probably get more. But if you burn the candle at both ends, you know, you get twice the light.
Yep. That's what I need right now.
That's what we need right now. So we'll find you one. Hang in there. Now, do you want a smart one or a dumb one? I think you might have told me that once already.
Yeah, I want a smart one, but I know how much that narrows the field.
Yeah, it does narrow the field. And you want a pretty one and a good cook and one that loves the Lord.
Yeah.
And
it's tough to find.
Willing to move to Pensacola, Florida to work in a ministry.
See, I tried looking for that. I tried the whole dating scene, but it doesn't exist. It doesn't appear to exist, so I just decided to work 14, 15 hours a day to compensate for the, you know.
Now, there goes my wife out there. We've been married 31 years. She is an awesome matchmaker. I'll put her on the job. Say, honey, find Jonathan one. Because she's coming in right now. She won't be on the radio, though. Okay. So, Ben, that's my response to your question about the Noah's Ark. Has it been found? John Morris thinks it has not been found. Ron Wyatt thinks it has been found 17 miles away. You can walk right up to it. The government of Turkey thinks it's been found, and they built a visitor center there. And we cover all that on video number 3. So go to our drdino.com, and what do they click on to get to the audio now, John?
For the radio?
To listen to the audio archives of the seminar on the website.
Okay, yeah, they go to drdino.com. At the very top at drdino.com, there's a button that says Downloads. They would just hover over Downloads and then go down to Seminar Audio. We have all of the MP3s and two of the debate video or two of the seminar videos.
Okay, good. Okay, Jason C-A-N-I-N-O, Canino. Could be an Italian name here. Jason writes, hello, wrote to you almost 2 months ago on helping me with my speech for creation and evolution in my college class. Well, it went awesome. Praise God and thank you for your helpful insights on how to tackle the situation. One person got saved in my class 3 days later. I was able to lead him to the Lord. I have a speech against gay and lesbian marriages this Wednesday, and I just wanted you to know one thing. In your video, you talked about many cultures have the same story of a flood wiping out the earth. Could you please let me know some of the major cultures? Thank you so much, Jason. Okay, Jason, go to the website creationism.org. They have a whole bunch of the flood legends right there on that website. That should be what you need. Let's see. Nancy Finch writes in, I've inserted the website of an AP Science article about a weakening of Earth's magnetic field and the poles flipping. Okay, here's the article. This is from last December about the magnetic pole weakens 10%. And the article says, by Andrew Bridges, a science writer for Associated Press, San Francisco, the strength of Earth's magnetic field has decreased 10% over the last 150 years. There's a remote possibility that it may collapse and later reverse, flipping the planet's poles for the first time in nearly a million years. At that rate of decline, the field could vanish altogether in 1,500 years. Said something Bloxam from Harvard University. Hundreds of years could pass before a flip-flop field returned to where it was 780,000 years ago. Chances are it will not, Bloxam said. Reversals are a rare event. Okay, yes, I read this back in December when it came out. Nancy, I absolutely disagree. Nobody has a clue how the Earth's magnetic field could reverse. They certainly don't have any proof that it did. And we cover all this on videotape number 1 about magnetic reversals. It's true the Earth's magnetic field is weakening. I would agree with that. But that does not prove it's going to reverse. I think that proves it's not millions of years old. End of story. Cannot be millions of years old. All right. Next one. Bill Gilbert writes in. Dear Brother Hovind, I have a friend who is looking for information on how Hitler got the Jews to give up their firearms before he was able to kill them. Or at least lots of them. I've heard once, but I don't remember where I heard it. Okay, Bill, if you go to my video number 5, you can watch it right on there, which I had open a second ago and closed already. Let me get that open. I talk about all the different countries that have established gun control, and then, of course, you know, within a decade or two, thousands of people ending up getting killed because they can't defend themselves. You know, they have a big problem there, and all of a sudden, oh, wow, what do we do now? Nobody can defend themselves. So I have a chart of all these different countries where this happened, and I'm including what happened to Hitler. Let's see. I know where it is. Gun control. Aha, look at that. Hyperlink, Jonathan. Just hit Control-K, and you go right to it. All right, slide number 444. That would have taken a while to find. Vladimir Lenin said, one person with a gun can control 100 people without one. Let's see, where is the quotes here? This is one from Don Boyce. He wrote the book that we're offering special on today. You might be a liberal if you don't trust honest Americans with automatic weapons, but you do trust the federal government with them. He said, you might be a liberal if you think guns are the cause of crime, but you don't think matches are the cause of arson. You might be a liberal if you think death penalty is government-sanctioned killing, but you don't think a prison sentence is government-sanctioned kidnapping. Amen. Good old... Here's a good quote, John. I don't know if you've seen this one. U.S. physicians, 700,000 accidental deaths per year are caused by U.S. physicians. The deaths per physician is 17%. Gun owners, there are 700,000 physicians and 120,000 deaths per year. There are 80 million gun owners in America. Accidental deaths per year is 1,500. So you're 9,000 times more likely to be killed by a doctor than a gun accident. 9,000 times more likely. Okay. Gun registration went into effect in April of 1935 in Hitler's Germany. Oh, I know I've got the quotes here. Here we go. Australia required gun owners to turn in their guns. 640,000 personal firearms were surrendered, costing the government $500 million. And within the next year, homicides went up 3.2%, assaults went up 8%, robberies went up 44%. Let's see. Turkey established gun control in 1911, and then in the next 7 years, 1.5 million Armenians were killed. Soviet Union had gun control in 1929, and 20 million Soviets were killed, unable to defend themselves. Here we go. Nazi gun control decree, November 11th, 1938, says Jews are prohibited from carrying firearms and ammunition. There you go. Check it out. Let's see. That puts a reference on that. I read so many books on Hitler, I didn't write that one down where it is, but I think it's in the book While 6 Million Died. That's where I would start looking. Anyway, Bill, hope that helps. Are we out of time? No, we got 4 minutes. Okay. Bill goes on to say, I heard, but don't remember where, that Hitler came into power. He had the Jews register their firearms like our country is doing. Then he had them taken away. Then they had no way of defending themselves, so I would be very thankful if you had any information on the subject. My friend's name is Mike, and he is not saved. Okay, well, Bill, I'll pray for your friend Mike to get saved. But I'd watch my video number 5. Most of the things are referenced right there at the bottom of the screen. And if it's not referenced, it'll give you enough clues. You could probably search it on the Internet and find it from there. Okay. Timothy Klavers, K-L-A-V-E-R, writes in, help, where can I find a complete list of the laws of nature or the laws of the universe or scientific laws or whatever they're called? I would like to study up on them so I can refute evolutionists when I come into contact with them. Oh, Timothy, I don't know if there is a list anyplace. I taught physical science for years, and there are so many laws, and people are making up new ones all the time. I don't know that such a list exists, Timothy. The law of gravity, centrifugal force, inertia, Boyle's law, Cole's law. You can eat that with potato salad. There's a lot of laws out there, and I don't know if there's a list. That's a good question. If anybody knows of such a thing, write us and let us know. The inverse square law. I mean, you get into electricity. There's all kinds. There's Ohm's law. There's so many laws dealing with electricity, laws dealing with physics, laws dealing with biology. I've never seen such a list. It'd be interesting. Tommy Smithson writes in, as a high school science teacher, I'm involved in the debate and have had to answer many questions about both theories based on evidences and processes. I'll refer this question to you and would appreciate an answer from the evolutionist point of view, since the creationist view needs no explanation. Where was the carbon stored before there was life? All the other gaseous cycles, like nitrogen, oxygen, rely on the carbon cycle at some point. Tommy, good question. I think you're going to need to ask that to probably Frank Sherwin at Institute for Creation Research, ICR.org. If he doesn't know, he will know who knows. That's a good question. Where was the carbon, according to the evolutionist view? Had to be stored somewhere. Yeah, I would start there at ICR. They should have stuff on that. Okay. And let's see. Deb Zabel writes, and you got 3 minutes if you want to call. Last chance, folks. 850-479-DINO, and then go to extension 136. And you go straight into Jonathan here. Deb Zabel, Z-A-B-E-L, writes in, I believe God created the earth in 6 24-hour days. But what was considered a year when Moses and other authors wrote the Old Testament? Hasn't the calendar changed throughout history? Like Julius Caesar added 2 months. I want to be able to give a good answer to skeptics on what makes up a year, 365 days. Thanks for your ministry, Deb. Deb, I don't think the length of a year has ever changed. Our way of measuring it may have changed, but, I mean, you go from summer to summer or winter to winter or, you know, vernal equinox to vernal equinox. There are any number of ways. The length of a year is a year and has always been that way. Now, you could decide to divide it up in any number of segments you wanted, just like we could divide our day up into 4,000 hours if we wanted, where each hour is, you know, 10 seconds long or something. But it's arbitrary. Our divisions of the day are arbitrary and man-made. But a year, and a day actually, one spin of the earth, you just wait till it's directly under the sun. And in our case, 24 hours later, it's directly under the sun again. Actually, 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 48 seconds, I believe. But who cares? The year is simply one trip around the sun. And since the earth is tilted, it's pretty easy to tell when we get back to that exact same spot. So I don't think that's going to affect anything. Okay, Terry Hartman writes in, an unbeliever asked me, if God is so perfect, why did he create the devil? The devil should have been perfect without sin. How do I respond to this? Well, Terry, apparently God did create the devil, and at least he was Lucifer, and he was perfect. The Bible says in Ezekiel 28, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. What happened? I don't know. The Bible says Lucifer was lifted up in pride because of his riches, his beauty, his wisdom, and his power. The same four things that corrupt people today. And boy, people do get corrupted from those four. So, yeah, read Ezekiel 28 and you'll see. Or get our videotape in the green series of tapes. It's called Leviathan, the Fire-Breathing Dragon, where it deals with that very subject, pride. And that appears to be what Job's problem was, and God had to, you know, explain it to him in a language he would understand. So, Terry, I would say God did create perfect Lucifer, and he became the devil, and that's not God's fault. Okay, that was his choice directly. Sherry Bellow, B-E-L-L-O-W, writes in, I was watching this thing in Darwin, and I started thinking maybe Darwin, I'll tell you what, Sherry, we're going to run out of time. Listen for the music there, John. Do you hear anything? Hard to hear it. It should be time now, but folks, we're having a hard time hearing Truth Radio. Tell you what, we're going to assume we're done. Sorry about that. I'll get yours tomorrow. Tune in again tomorrow, folks. We'll be with you live. Thanks a lot. Bye.